This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
What is the strangest thing you've seen that you can't explain? Story one. When I worked in the medical field, I had a dream one night about a patient of mine, a very kind elderly woman whom I visited once or twice a week. In the dream, she came to me, dancing, and called out that she wasn't hurting anymore. I was so happy watching her dance after seeing her decline for years. When I got to work the next morning, I told my coworkers about the dream, and later that morning, we got the call from her daughter that she had passed away the night before. I cannot explain that, but I'm glad I told my coworkers about it before the call and not after. Otherwise, they'd never have believed me. Such a bizarre experience, but so wonderful to feel she was at peace. Story 2. Fall 2009, I was sick, like super sick. It was a few weeks before my amputation, and I was battling a severe bone infection. I was on all kinds of antibiotics. I had a PICC line and would dose my antibiotics through these little balls and pain medication. I'm a huge Yankees fan, so my best friend got us tickets for the American League Championship Series game at Yankee Stadium. She pushed me around the stadium in a wheelchair with a ton of blankets on me. It was freezing, just to put a smile on my face. My friend leaves our seats to go get some hot dogs and snacks. This is where it gets weird. As soon as she leaves, to my recollection, an older Irish gentleman sits beside me. He offers me some of his spiked hot chocolate, but I said no thanks and explained that I was on a lot of medication. We begin talking, and I told him what was going on in my life. He asked if I was scared to have my leg amputated, and I told him that I was. I was really frightened of the unknown. He gave me some pretty valuable life advice and comforted me. He assured me that it would be fine. He told me that if you have to be an amputee, try to be the best damn amputee there is. My friend comes back with food and asks who I was talking to. There's no one next to me. I guess I must have hallucinated this, but I don't know. It felt more like some kind of angel or being that came to me to let me know it would be okay. I guess my guardian angel is an Irishman with spiked hot chocolate. Story 3. I was driving home from work on the back roads and was behind a car that was the same make, model, and year as mine, just a different color. Further down the road, we both get into the turn lane to turn left onto a long, straight road with open fields on either side. The car in front of me turns onto this road, and I wait for a car to pass, then turn as well. It takes less than 5 seconds. However, when I turn onto the road, the car that had been in front of me is nowhere to be seen. This road has no turnoffs, and it's long and straight, so you can see pretty far ahead. The car had just vanished, and I still think about it today. I have a dash cam now, but I wish I had one back then, because I question what actually happened that day. Edit. I am 100% sure the car didn't do a U-turn. The roads are really narrow, so they wouldn't have been able to complete the U-turn without making it a three-point turn or driving partly into the field. I also would have noticed because, while there was enough time to make a 90-degree turn in front of the car coming from the other direction, there was nowhere near enough time to make a 180-degree turn without either causing a wreck or something else. After I turned onto this road and noticed the car was no longer in front of me, I looked all around and could see another car driving away behind me. But the car that looked like mine was gone. There was nowhere on that road where the car could have pulled off, or I would have seen it. It was still very light outside, around 6:30 in June, and the road was surrounded by cotton fields which don't grow high enough to cover a car. I have gone through every possible explanation, and there just isn't a logical one. Story 4. I was having a sleepover at home with a friend from school. We were watching a film when suddenly the weirdest thought came to me. Her dog had just passed. Obviously, I couldn't just blurt that out. So in the middle of the film, I weirdly asked, "Hey, by the way, how is your dog?" She was quite surprised, obviously. I had never met her dog, and she didn't talk much about it. She had only mentioned she had one. She answered that he was aging but doing well. We moved on, but I couldn't shake a weird feeling. Anyway, she went home the next day and called me after a while. She asked, "Why did you ask about my dog yesterday? How did you know?" "He passed away last night, around the same time you asked about him." I was both shocked and unsurprised at the same time. I don't have an explanation. It seems like a weird coincidence since her dog was not something I usually thought about. It never happened to me again. Story 5. When I was young, my parents and I relocated across the country to Maine. We lived in a very small town, and our house was old, beat up, and on many acres deep in the forest. It had two stories, with the top story being the main level and the bottom story being the bedroom level. My bedroom had several large windows that looked out into the forest. I don't remember having curtains or blinds, but I'm sure I must have, because my mother never forgot details like that when decorating my bedrooms as a child. I must have left them open one night. I remember waking up in darkness with a faint glowing orb of light hovering just outside my window. I watched it in utter terror as it went slowly across one window, then the next, before pausing, flashing briefly into my bedroom, then shifting into the third and final window and disappearing altogether. I was so upset by the ordeal that I went and woke my parents, and my stepfather stormed into the backyard with his gun in hand. There was nothing and no sign of the strange orb. My eyes are watering as I write this. Deep down, as an adult looking back, I realized that orb was anything but magical. It was someone's flashlight. It never happened again, but I'm still afraid of having window blinds open at night. Story 6. I was driving one night in a really foul mood and speeding. Like, when I say speeding, I mean at least 25 over the limit. Anyway, this car gets behind me, and for some reason, I could just tell it wasn't a cop. It was a fully tinted Chevy truck with weird lights on it, like comically large aftermarket front headlights. Once it got behind me, I got a really eerie feeling I can't explain. Like my body just knew something was wrong. Anyway, I figured if it was a cop, they would light me up for speeding. But for some reason, they just kept pace with me, also speeding themselves. So at this point, I'm getting a little weirded out. So I turn off the freeway, and they follow me. I turn into a gas station and get out. I figure if I'm going to get axed, at least the cameras will pick it up and give my family some closure. Something just didn't sit right with me. I knew something was up. As I'm getting out of my car, the truck rolls its window down, and what I saw still haunts me to this day. It was a heavily disfigured man. The only likeness I can compare to is that guy Rocky Dennis from the movie about the boy with the disfigured head who falls for the girl that loves him for who he is, not how he looks. He starts to motion to me with his finger, like telling me to come closer. I don't care if he was going to give me the winning Powerball numbers. There was no way in the world I was going to approach that car. I bolted inside the gas station. At this point, my whole body was shaking. I tried to tell the clerk what was going on as they stared at me, probably thinking I was drunk or high, as my story didn't make much sense. I went to look outside and the truck was gone. I still have nightmares to this day. Story 7. I was driving home from work one afternoon with my brother and cousin in the car. As we were sitting in traffic, I noticed high up in the sky and way out in the distance, a small, motionless, black square. I pointed it out, and both my brother and cousin spotted it quickly, so I know it wasn't in my head. It just remained still for about 45 minutes, and then the sun set, and it was too dark to see it any longer. It stayed in the exact same spot the whole time, and while it was really far away, you could still tell it was a perfect square shape. Once I got home, I went online to see if there were any mentions of it anywhere, and there was nothing. To this day, I still think about it and wonder what I was looking at. Story 8. A tiny humanoid creature underwater. To this day, I still search the internet in hopes that what I saw was an actual type of fish, but I still haven't found anything. I was snorkeling at the age of 16 off the coast of Australia with my dad. Seeing all the fish was so beautiful. My dad drifted a little far from me, but there was a reef protecting us from any large sharks, so I wasn't scared of snorkeling on my own. I swam down toward the coral to get a closer look at a small octopus when something caught my eye. A human face. A human face with an eerie smile and big eyes. It was sort of standing, casually leaning against the coral, with a body about 4 inches tall and a head no bigger than a grape. It resembled a naked human male, but had gills by its neck and webbed feet, smooth all over like a Ken doll. I stared at him. He stared at me. I stared back and tried to rationalize what I was seeing. I reached out to touch him, it, and he casually evaded me by stepping to the side, all while his creepy smile remained. I could see my dad had turned around and was swimming closer to me, so I called him over to see this crazy creature. The creature turned toward where my dad was swimming over, seemed to notice him, then looked back at me coyly. Then it walked away, like walked on its little webbed feet on the coral, and disappeared down through a little hole in the rocks. I tried explaining it to my dad when he came over, but he couldn't explain anything like that either. He just said something about Aboriginal spirits and that I shouldn't.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
Mess with it. I swear I think about that little fish man every day. Story 9. I was around the age of 10, and my younger sister was 7. Usually, whenever my sister was scared during the night, she would wake me up and I would comfort her and tuck her in bed. However, this night was different. She was shaking me furiously and crying, couldn't speak, etc., so I rushed to her room. After a few minutes, she could finally tell me that she could hear faint footsteps up and down the small hallway outside our rooms. Our rooms are opposite from each other in the hallway. So we tried to be quiet and listen for the footsteps and couldn't hear anything. I thought she must be imagining things. Then, after we calmed down, we started hearing the footsteps, and they were actually so clear it sounded like someone was right outside the room. We both feared that someone broke into the house and was wandering around. So, funnily enough, I grabbed a pillow to protect myself and my sister in case the intruder came inside. At this stage, both my sister and I were crying, and nothing was happening. After 2 minutes of hearing footsteps, I gained the courage to scream, "Help!" and ran down to my parents' room at the other end of the house. I woke them up and let them know what happened. Dad checked the entire house plus the backyard. Nothing. He then went back to sleep. Relieved, I decided to lay in my sister's bed with her so she would be less shaken up from the situation. Around 15 minutes later, wide awake, a very, very loud screech happened in the kitchen for about 2 seconds, like something dragging on our floor tiles. Immediately, we both jumped up and screamed and cried. It was so loud my parents even woke up to see what it was. We left our room before my parents and saw our wooden kitchen chair somehow dragged on the tiles about 5 meters away from the kitchen table. We were all shocked and could not explain what happened. We thought it might have something to do with the footsteps. This is hands down the scariest thing I have ever gone through. Story 10. Not so much something I saw, in hindsight, thank goodness, but rather something I heard that I can't explain. I was staying at my dad's place for the weekend when I was about 16, and he lived out of town in rural Australia, the kind of place you don't lock doors, etc. The house was pretty long, with my dad's room at the front of the house in a loft-style second floor, and my room was literally down the other end of the house, I would say about 20 meters away, down the end of a hallway with a few other rooms and a bathroom along the way. It was just he and I there that weekend, and I stayed up late on the computer and went to bed about 2 a.m., got into bed, and started listening to music to fall asleep. About 2 minutes in, I hear the door at the end of the hall slam shut, and I had not closed it. I immediately take my earphones out and go to call out, thinking it was my dad, when a bedroom door right next to it opened. No one occupied that room at this time. And I immediately got that shaky, shivering feeling all through my body, knowing something wasn't right and assuming someone had broken in. After about 30 seconds or so of silence, I hear a loud thud on the wooden hallway floor, like a stomp. After about 5 seconds, it happens again, and again, and again. It was in a rhythm. About halfway down the hall to my bedroom, there was a little bit off the side where the bathroom was, which had an old wooden sliding door that was extremely loud to open and close. After about 30 seconds of the stomping in the hall stopping, at this point I was nearly throwing up from fear, the bathroom door was reefed open with all the strength you could imagine, like how you'd picture someone doing it in a complete and utter rage. I sat there completely paralyzed, thinking, my room is the next stop. I sat, waited, and nothing. I literally sat up in my bed until the sun came up, at which point I ran up to my dad's room to explain what had happened. We went through the house. Nothing. Nothing out of place. All the doors shut, which he had actually locked, all but one. My dad said he did not come down, and he's never been known to sleepwalk or anything in his life. I have never been able to come up with a rational explanation of what happened that night. I'm not someone who is much of a believer in ghosts or anything, but that night I just had a feeling that whatever was out there wasn't exactly human. I still don't know who or what that could have been or why I didn't hear anything after the bathroom door being ripped open. Still get chills telling people that story and even writing it out now. I feel so uneasy. Story 11. I'll preface this by saying I don't really believe in the paranormal or superstitions, although I find these topics super interesting. But something really weird happened one night after leaving a movie theater with a friend that I've never been able to rationalize. We had just watched a horror movie as well, so we were definitely in that spooky mood. During our drive home out of the city, I lived in the country, we counted 3 cars pulled over in different areas on the road. As we got onto the highway, we counted about 8 more in various locations, all a decent distance apart, so it's not like they were yielding to an ambulance or anything like that. We got about halfway to my house and ended up counting a total of 12 cars before my friend freaked out and begged me to take a back road. He was convinced it was a sign that we might get in a collision or some kind of road accident. We were silent the rest of the ride home. I brought it up to him once or twice since then, and he gets really defensive and shuts it down immediately. It really bothered him. It's definitely weird and I can't explain it, but it makes for an interesting story. Story 12. I was taking a trip with my then girlfriend, and we had to cross the Hudson River to get to where we were going. There are only a handful of bridges across, and I know them all from having grown up in the area. On that particular trip, we were supposed to take the Bear Mountain Bridge, but I got off the wrong exit and passed it. We decided it wasn't a big deal. The next bridge, the Newburgh Beacon, was actually closer to where we were going. It would just bring us a little bit past our destination, but not enough to really matter. So we kept on driving, not really paying specific attention to where we were, since it was probably 20 to 30 minutes until we got there. Well, we never crossed the Newburgh Beacon that day. We also never crossed the Bear Mountain. And we certainly didn't drive an extra half an hour to the Mid-Hudson or turn around and go back to the tap. When we did take a minute to check where we were and how close the bridge was, we found we were already on the other side of the river. No bridge. We were just already there. So either there's a secret tunnel somewhere under the river, we had our memories erased, or we found some kind of spatial rift somewhere in the Hudson Valley. Story 13. I was an RA when I was in college. All the RAs would come back a week before the winter semester started for training, which meant no students were back in the dorms. We were the only ones in the building. One night, I heard the door to my shared bathroom open. The sound of the doorknob turning woke me up, so I kind of groggily said my sweet mate's name. She would sometimes come through the bathroom to talk or ask me for advice. Then I realized my sweet mate was on an extended holiday in Italy, so no one should have been in our suite at all. I immediately shot up and looked toward the bathroom door. It was almost pitch black in my room, but next to the bathroom door, I could see the perfect outline of a human face wearing a flat-brimmed hat. I couldn't see the details of the face, but I could see shadows where the eyes, mouth, and nose would have been. It was as if someone was standing next to the door, staring at me. I had no idea what to do, because no one was back in the dorms. I knew that the nearest RA was two floors away and wouldn't hear me scream for help. I stared at the face for a few seconds, and it stared back. Then I shifted slightly on the bed, and it completely disappeared. I got up to check the door, and it had been closed the whole time. It's been almost 7 years, and it still freaks me out when I think about it. Story 14. My youngest daughter would always beg to buy the seasonal decorations when we go shopping. She passed away from a brain tumor when she was 5, and as a way to cope, I started buying those seasonal decorations and now decorate my house with them as the seasons and holidays change. Her favorite were these colorful birds from Target. A couple of years ago, just before Easter, I was deep cleaning the house. One of the Easter birds went missing. I assume one of my older kids had knocked it off the shelf with their backpack as they had left for school that morning. I looked around where it should have fallen but couldn't find it. We had a younger dog who loved to chew up everything he could find. I checked all his usual hiding spots but couldn't find it. I continued to clean the house. Vacuum, dust, full top to bottom cleaning of the common areas of the house since I was home alone for the day. Finally, I'm done and still haven't found that bird. I found a lot of missing socks, Legos, and other stuff. I grab my cleaning supplies and say out loud, "Daughter, it's okay if you're playing with it, but will you let me know somehow so that I know the dog didn't destroy it?" I walk out of the living room and put the cleaning stuff away under the kitchen sink. I come back into the living room, and there that bird is. It is standing on its feet in the center of the living room floor. These birds have pipe cleaner-like feet, so they were difficult to get to stand right, and it is standing on its feet. I got a chill. I picked it up and looked it over. There weren't any teeth marks or slobber, so it hadn't been in the dog's mouth. I just said, "Thanks, daughter. You're welcome to play with it whenever you want," and put it back on the shelf. I have no way to explain it other than the paranormal. Story 15. When I was younger, I used to have this troubled friend. He had a brand new BMW. We used to be bad boys and buy alcohol with fake IDs. We were only 16, but we had a lot of fun just doing nothing. Smoking weed, drinking, dating girls, doing whippets. Think the movie mid-90s almost to a T. Well, one time we got detained by the police. We were just in the wrong area at the wrong time. I was very respectful to the police, and my friend was not so much. The female officer pulled me to the side and said, "Look, kid, You seem like a respectful young man. Why are you hanging out with this kid? He's bad news. I really think the next time you want to hang out with him, think twice. So, the following Friday, he said he was going to pick me up and we were going to grab some booze and hang out with these girls. I told him, unfortunately, I can't tonight. I have to stay in. That night, he was in a high-speed chase and lost control of his vehicle. His car went straight into an apartment building and he died instantly. Somehow, I ended up running into that police officer again a few weeks later. She made a joke that it's not good if she keeps seeing me. I literally burst into tears and just hugged her. I feel like she saved my life. She seemed somewhat confused, and I told her what happened. Story 16. Former Egyptian Air Force Mirage 2000 pilot here. I was one of the unlucky few that got selected to serve their mandatory years as pilots. It was considered unlucky because you stayed in the Army a lot longer than soldiers and officers due to the amount of training that comes with flying a fighter jet. Anyway, fast forward 2 years, I'm a fully trained Mirage pilot, though I don't know much about dogfighting or fighter jet weapons, as I didn't take it on full time. Like I said, this was mandatory service that everyone had to do. I was just selected to be a pilot for some reason. I only flew like 6 times in the 3.5 years I served. Anyways, picture this. It's a pitch black night and I go out for patrol on the Red Sea border between Egypt and Saudi Arabia. My friend is assigned to patrol the border near Sinai in Israel. That's usually the most actively patrolled area. So here I am, flying in Egyptian airspace, when an extremely bright light shines through the cockpit, almost blinding me for a moment. It was so bright, it got right through the tinting on the windows and my helmet. It was almost like that memory wiper from Men in Black. It lasted at least a minute. Just as I'm about to call this in to get a possible explanation, the air tower guy starts frantically speaking. Not shouting, but talking really fast and in a very worried tone. I can't hear him well through the radio, so I couldn't tell what he was saying. I tuned into the frequency the other pilots were on, and they were all just as shaken as me. 30 minutes later, a calmer voice instructs us to all land immediately as there is an emergency being investigated by the more experienced pilots, dogfighters. So we land 2 at a time. I steer my plane into the hangar and get out. Everyone has this frightened look on their face. Eyes wide open, mouth shut, and sort of lost. Like you talk to them and they're like, "Sorry, what were you saying again?" So I go straight to the base commander, hoping for an explanation that puts my mind at ease. When I get there, I find that he's in his office on the phone shouting about unidentifiable aircrafts infiltrating Egyptian airspace. And that's when I really got scared. I finished my mandatory service years ago, and I'm currently studying law in Washington. But that night I constantly think about. Story 17. Scene might be a strong term, but in my first apartment I experienced sleep paralysis nearly every night. It was terrifying, and I remember that everything would suddenly get really dark around me, and I couldn't move or speak. It felt like I was suffocating, and I would fight it, all internally, until it would abruptly ease up. I started sleeping with a light on, as it seemed less likely to happen when I did. I moved out and tried to not think too much about it, as it gave me an icky feeling. I never told my family about this as I felt they would think I was crazy. There's some mental illness in the family. Years later, as I was talking to an older relative, she casually mentioned that my sister-in-law used to live there in the exact same apartment shortly before marrying my brother, but that she'd moved out pretty quickly. I remembered that it was a fairly nice apartment and asked why. My sister-in-law had felt like she was being awakened by something and kept finding her stuff moved. About 8 years later, the relative that owned the apartment asked me to retrieve something from it. It had been vacant for years and was being used for storage. I took my daughter with me, and my normally extremely talkative child was very quiet the whole time. We got in and out of there fairly quickly. That night, as we were talking, I mentioned to her that it had been my first apartment. She asked if I'd been scared, and then blurted out that she'd seen something large and black on the ceiling that seemed to be sucking all the light out of the surrounding area. I'm usually skeptical about the paranormal and believe that most incidents can be shrugged off, but there's something about that vacant, decaying apartment that still terrifies me. Story 18. I was suffering with a brief depression a few years back. It was a really hard time in my life. My family was getting ready to go to a barbecue. I was brushing my teeth and, randomly, out of my peripheral vision, I saw the torso and arm of a man in a blue and green flannel. I didn't see a face or anything, but I'm fairly certain he put his hand on my left forearm. I looked up, and there was nothing there. This really creeped me out, and my mother, who is an extremely devout Catholic, gave me a rosary to see if it would help. I brought the rosary with me when we left, and in the car I started to feel an unnatural tiredness. I went into a weird daydream-like state, followed by dark thoughts that really bothered me. Then suddenly afterwards, I had this bizarre feeling of sheer peace and clear-mindedness. I felt as if I could die that second, and I was happy and content with my life ending at that point. I wasn't suicidal, and I didn't want to die, but I felt as if even if I died in that moment, things would be okay. After this event, my mental health got better, and I feel more put together as a person. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure if what I saw was supernatural or just a figment of my imagination, or even if I really saw anything at all. Nothing like that has happened since, and I've been in a way better mental state. Story 19. I had moved to Venice Beach, California about 8 years ago, and it was the first time I had moved away from my home and family in Pennsylvania. After 4 months, I hit a rough patch and had to sell my car to get back home. One night, while trying to fall asleep, I had a mild anxiety attack from overthinking my current situation at the time. Both of my roommates had left a few days prior, so I had the apartment to myself for the last few days. During my mild anxiety attack, I was talking to my grandma, who had recently passed away, to ask for some help. Note, I have never been spiritual and I identify as agnostic. A little while later, early morning, around 2 a.m., I noticed a flickering coming from my roommate's room. I opened the door to find a freshly lit candle. I did not light that candle. As a child, my grandma would always take me with her to church, and my favorite part was getting to light a candle to say a prayer. Story 20. Doing some door-to-door work, I knocked on a house I'd only driven past in a city on the other side of the world from where I grew up. As I looked around the deck I was standing on, I noticed a particular window had a view through another window. I distinctly remembered all the details of what was outside the second window, even though I had never before seen it in my life. As the door opened, the lady standing at it gave a bewildered face that I must have mirrored. The first thing she said was, "I know you. I promise, there is no way our paths had previously crossed." As we got to talking, I was sharing a personal story, of which she finished the last details for me. I was stunned, and she said, "I'm sure you've told me that before." I was tripping out and ended up coming back to the house a few times to just chat and see where or if anyone we both knew had crossed paths. To this day, I still can't explain it. Story 21. I was a sophomore in college. I walked into my math class like any other day and sat in my usual spot, about four seats in on the third row. Even though we didn't have assigned seats, there was always a girl sitting two seats to the left of me, an empty seat between us, and her male friend to her left. They seemed to just be good friends, always laughing, never any reason to give me concern. This day in particular, I sat down, got my spiral and pencil out, and just quietly sat there looking forward and thinking about what I was going to do after class. Suddenly, I got this eerie feeling. I looked up to my left and my heart practically stopped. The girl was staring straight at me, blank face, and her eyes were shining like a bright, piercing electric blue. Shining like lasers. Nothing at all natural. I can't explain it accurately. I was basically paralyzed and couldn't move or say anything. I eventually blinked and looked forward, then looked back, and the girl's head was turned back to her friend as he was talking again. About 2 years later, I was with friends and we were driving to a restaurant. Traffic was building up since it was rush hour, and we were stopped in the right lane. I was in the back seat and happened to look up diagonally to the left and through the windshield. I looked into the car sitting in the lane next to us. Its back bumper was parallel to our front bumper, so I could see the driver easily. He was turned almost completely around and looking back at me, staring intensely. Even from that distance, I could see his eyes were that piercing, bright, laser-like blue. And I froze again. Just like the last incident, I was eventually able to blink, look away, and then immediately look back. The man was turned forward, the light turned green, and we all started moving forward. It's been about 15 years, and I haven't experienced anything like that again. But it messed with my mind for a while. Story 22. When I was a child, had to be about 6 to 7 years old, I woke up in the middle of the night and for some reason started fiddling with the blind to the window that was right above my bed. I did the thing where the blind shoots up to the top of the window accidentally. I saw what I now know to be a djinn, found video evidence of it on YouTube. I'd look it up to link it, but I can't see it again, sorry. Pure black, with white human eyes. I screamed and it screamed back, without making a single sound. I fell backwards off my bed. At this point, my dad came running into the room. There's a black man outside my window. Dad ran outside with his pistol to find nothing. The next day, he installed tinted windows in my room, the kind where you can see out but not in. We were poor growing up, but the intensity of my reaction convinced him that it all really happened, and he took action. Years later, as an adult, I discussed this with Dad. It was then I realized my description had led him to believe an African-American man was trying to peep in or break in through my window. You know your window was up pretty high, right? Someone would have to be 8 feet tall to look into that window without a ladder. It was then I described to him for the first time what I actually saw. He couldn't believe it. To this day, all windows are entirely covered at nighttime. I do not allow for open windows or blinds past sunlight hours. I always took solace throughout my life thinking, it was just as scared of me as I was of it. So monsters are real, but they feel fear. I can live with that. I described this event to a coworker about a year ago. When describing the "it screamed back at me" part, she replied, "Oh my God, like it was mocking you?" I haven't recovered from this. It was mocking me. It didn't scream until a second after I did. It was making fun of how scared I was. I have nothing further to add. Story 23. I didn't see anything, but I heard strange sounds when I went camping with my dad when I was 12 years old, back in 2007. We were sitting around the campfire at night when, out of nowhere, we heard this loud sound. My dad and I couldn't tell what it was. At first, we thought it was a jet, but it was a clear night and we didn't see any strobe lights at all in the sky. It wasn't a car or any large vehicle on the nearby highway, because automobiles don't sound like that. We couldn't tell if it was coming from the sky or the nearby mountains at this point. It was really loud and kept going on consistently for a long time, and we just sat there and listened. The sound went away and it was time to go to sleep. So instead of sleeping in the tent, my dad and I slept in his camper in the truck because I was too scared. Then late at night, I had no idea what time it was. That sound came back and it woke me up. I stayed awake with my eyes wide open until the sun came up. The sound never came back after that night. And we've gone back to that campsite multiple times over the years and never heard it again. You know, the funny thing is that around 2011 to 2012, people all over the world were hearing loud horn sounds coming from the sky, and those sounds are exactly what I heard at that campsite. I still get chills talking about it. Story 24. When I was in college, I shared a house with seven more students in an apartment, flat, whatever you want to call it. I lived on the third floor. I was socially awkward, so I didn't make friends with any of them. They'd leave the house at midnight to play football, and there was always this one animation student who stayed in the house with me. One night, I was staying up because I didn't finish my assignment as fast as I thought. Everyone either slept at their friend's house or played midnight football, but that night the animation student tagged along, so I was all alone in the apartment. Let me tell you about the apartment. It sucked. Almost all the lights were broken, my door handle was totally gone, leaving a weird circular hole, so I had to use my finger to actually lock or open my door through the gear or whatever you want to call it. We reported it to the college department, but they never did anything. That night, I did my work in the dark at my study table in the living room. As I was working on my assignment, I heard a chair move in the room behind me. I had seen everyone step out of the house 2 hours earlier, so I knew I was 100% alone. I decided to close my laptop and go to my room and sleep. I stood up, and naturally my chair made a screech noise. The chair noise replied louder from the room behind me. I went to my room, used my nail to close the door, and tried to sleep. I woke up the next day with my door half open. I called my roommate and asked him whether he entered the room last night. He didn't. So there's that. I never really wanted to do work late at night again. At least that's what I told myself that day. 2 weeks later, I got an assignment that required me to stay up. I also took animation, and that stuff was tiring. I started around 10 p.m., and then my housemates went out to play football, except for the animation student, which calmed me a bit. Around midnight, he went out because he received a call while holding his motorcycle helmet. He was 100% not coming back, So I tried to do my work without overthinking about the room behind me. I couldn't roam around at night because the security guard would ask if I was trying to sneak into the girl's apartment. I had friends, but I didn't want to knock on their doors at midnight. So I called my mom, I saw her online, and we talked a bit about life and stuff. I calmed down and continued my work. Around 2 a.m., I heard it again. You know it's from the same floor because my floor was vibrating. I did what every stupid character does in movies. I stood up and checked the room. I'm not sure why. I just felt like if there was no one in the room, I'd convince myself there was nothing to be afraid of. I checked under the bed and everything. Nothing. I closed the room and continued my work. From my peripheral view, I could see that the door opened slightly more and more, but very slowly. Subtle, but you could tell. I was shaking and, to be honest, I kind of froze. And then I felt something touch my leg. It was a hanger. It hit my leg, and when I looked down, it was still moving and rattling on the floor. Something threw a plastic hanger from the room behind me. I decided that was too much for me, and I left the house and took a walk downstairs. The guard asked what I was doing. I lied and said I was waiting for my laundry to dry. There's a mini laundromat on the lowest floor. I didn't sleep at my apartment often after that. I decided to sleep at my house, which was around 40 minutes to an hour away, because of that experience. Apparently, my neighbor's house experienced something weird too, so I guess it's not just me. It's not really scary, but I felt uncomfortable not being able to explain what happened, and I don't like that. Now I'm doing much better. I have lots of friends, and I changed my course. It's a fun story to tell. Story 25. A few stories, actually. So for context, I was living in a rather small village with 300 inhabitants. The next bigger road is not too far away from us, but the road leading through our village is pretty small. The first story. When I was younger, I had a treehouse. It was pretty cool, and we actually thought about having electricity and water up there, but we never did that. One night I couldn't sleep. I was watching my treehouse, and all of a sudden this thing lit up. We never had any lamps there, so how could that have happened? It went out after a few minutes and never happened again. This story happened during the same time I was experiencing alien nightmares and had the feeling of being watched by something invisible. And the second story is even weirder. As I mentioned, I was living in a small village. The next train station is about 6 kilometers away. Sometimes when my parents couldn't pick me up, I had to walk. It usually took me 45 minutes, more or less. One night I was at a friend's place, took the train to the next station, and from there I had to walk. I remember I took the train at 7 p.m., so I should have been home by 8, right? 10 minutes on the train, 45 minutes walking. It took 2.5 hours for me to get home, and I can't explain what happened on the way. Still thinking about it today. Story 26. Sleep paralysis is a hellish thing. If you have it, you'll never be more scared in your life. As a preteen, the only thing I'd do was play my Xbox One. There was a little pad in our backyard that was basically just a tiny house. My parents trusted me enough to let me live out there. So me, being an addicted gamer, would always stay up countless hours on Battlefield, Black Ops, and Minecraft. Eventually, insomnia caught up with me. Around 4 o'clock one morning, I decided to call it quits because I was a tired boy. I went to sleep, and 2 hours later, I woke up to see twin girls in ripped white medical gowns standing in the corner of my room. They had long black hair that covered their faces. They walked toward me and phased through me in my bed, eventually reaching me and choking me. Of course, I had sleep paralysis, so I could only move my head. They stopped, then walked through my walls to leave me. I turned my head to the bed beside mine, since my friend and I had just had a sleepover a few days ago. My friend was sitting there looking at me, until finally he started screaming, and his face warped into a demon-esque thing. Eventually I broke free, or at least I think I did, and continued my daily routine, talking to my parents about the incident, eating breakfast, and then sitting back down to start playing video games again. Then almost like I fainted, everything went hazy, my memory faded, and everything went black until I woke up in my bed with a terrible ringing in my ears. I asked my parents if I fainted and they put me in bed. They said they didn't and asked why. I told them, and they were really confused. Still makes me wonder to this day. Story 27. I was showering one evening and had the bathroom window open for condensation. This particular window opens out above our side passage on the side of our house, about 20 feet above the gate below. I finished showering, wrapped a towel around my waist, and was walking out of the bathroom when I met my mom on the landing. She was walking out of her bedroom and had begun telling me something about my laundry not being ready when, mid-conversation, we heard the most gut-wrenching, blood-curdling scream I've ever heard. The scream entered through the bathroom window, echoing throughout the house, and in an instant, I was filled with fright and adrenaline. The only thing I could picture when hearing that scream was that a woman was being pinned down and attacked in our alleyway. I bolted downstairs into the kitchen and must have covered about 20 stair steps in 3 strides as my towel trailed behind me. By the time I got to our back door, I was stark naked, fighting with each lock on the door. The whole time the screaming continued. It wasn't just one shriek, and it seemed to escalate to greater levels of anguish with each passing second. I was panicked, but ready to fight. All I could think was someone was being attacked in my passage, and I had to save them. I leapt outside, swung around the corner, and ripped open the gate, ready to confront the attacker. The side passage was pitch black, and as my eyes were still adjusting, trying to make sense of anything that was there, the screaming stopped and all was still. Nothing was there, and there was no trace of anything having ever been there. I cautiously stepped back into the kitchen, where by this time my mom had caught up. After securing the perimeter with all outside lights turned on and scouting the front and back sides, we made sure our cat was all right. She had also heard the scream and was on high alert, standing on the kitchen table. To this day, I have no explanation for the source of that screaming. We have foxes in the area, and they can make some strange yelping sounds. But this definitely wasn't an animal. It sounded like a human writhing and wailing for her life. Story 28. Oof, this is a long one. I've moved around a lot, and I've had many similar, but smaller experiences in many different houses, to the point where I can walk into a place and get a vibe that just doesn't check out. Kind of like a weird little back-of-the-brain gut feeling that you just push off as mind games. But out of all of it, this was the worst. I lived in a house with a few roommates that all believed the place was haunted. There was a good bit of activity, but none of it was particularly scary. It was enough that you couldn't doubt something was there, but it didn't really feel threatening at first. Just kind of spooky. I had the basement room and would always hear clear footsteps above me when no one else was home. The front door would open and close like one of the guys was coming home for the night. I'd walk upstairs to say hello, and no one would be there. The house had a very long driveway with a horse gate at the end that we had to manually open and close to keep the dogs in. There were many nights I would come home and the gate would be open. I'd pull my truck up past the gate and hop out to close it, only to see that it was already closed. I would just laugh a little and jokingly yell out a thank you. Things started getting a lot worse when one of my roommates had his high school-age sister stay for a few days while their parents were out of town. We let her throw a little party with her friends, and next thing you know, they're playing around with a Ouija board, and the damn thing kept saying my name as I was walking to the kitchen. I've known this girl since she was little, pretty much like a sister, so I thought she was playing a joke. I laughed it off and told them to stop messing with me. But within the month and a half after that, I started hearing and seeing things that made me seriously question whether I was becoming schizophrenic. I became antisocial and fell into a huge depression that affected my job, my relationship, and my friendships. Until one night, I had my girlfriend over for a movie. I got up to use the restroom for like 30 seconds, heard a commotion, and came back to her, curled up on my bed, crying her eyes out and trying to hold my barking dog, who was more aggressive than I'd ever seen and was just all over the place. She demanded that we immediately go to her house and refused to ever step into that building again. It was a long time before I got an explanation from her. She would get incredibly upset every time I tried to bring it up. Eventually, she told me that she had heard a loud guttural sound, thinking something was wrong with the dog, so she sat up to check. One of the candles that I kept on my TV stand flew at her. I moved into my own place a week later, which I had already been planning to do. And the last time I left that property, it literally felt like leaving a war zone. It was as if all my sanity returned within weeks. My motivation and energy came back, and I haven't had a single experience like that ever since. But I no longer keep any candles in my house anymore. A year or so later, after hanging out with my former roommates, trading stories and discussing everything that happened in that house, I did a little research and found out that not only the house, but the entire area is known as a hotspot for these kinds of things. Story 29. I already commented, but I thought of another story. My mom and dad bought a house before I was born on an old street, probably dating back to the 1600s. My mom had bought the house because she was really into researching family history, and some elderly relative of hers had lived there in the 1930s. My dad and my granddad were decorating before they moved in, and every day my granddad would moan at my dad for not washing his brushes after he had painted. One day my granddad went alone to paint, and when my parents returned later that night, he had left but hadn't washed any of the brushes, which was super weird for him. My mom rang him, and he came up with an excuse that he just forgot about it. Years later, when they finally moved out of the house, he explained why he had left them. He had been painting the hallway where the stairs were and suddenly felt some kind of cold presence. When he turned around, he saw an old lady walking down the stairs slowly and recognized her as the distant family member who had lived there years before. Naturally, he panicked and ran out, leaving all his equipment behind, but didn't dare tell my parents what happened until after they left. Story 30. When I was young, my little brother and I would explore the woods and abandoned areas of the English countryside. There was this one abandoned, overgrown farmhouse that we and a few other kids from the town broke into by kicking in the kitchen window, which was the closest one to the ground, as the kitchen was half in the ground. When we got into the kitchen, the table was set, and very old, dry, and shriveled food was still on the plates. To us, it seemed like the family that lived there just got up during dinner, left, and never came back. We explored the rest of the house, and the furniture was all there, covered in dust, cobwebs, and animal droppings. It was awesome, our own little secret clubhouse. There was only one room we couldn't get into. The heavy wooden door was locked, and no search for a key was ever fruitful. I couldn't explain it at the time, but I had to get into that room to look around. Call it the video game completionist side of me. Myself and a few others found a heavy tree branch outside that we used as a battering ram, and after many, many swings, we finally got the door busted enough to open. Inside the room was no furniture except one cabinet, fastened to the wall. Inside the cabinet was a single China doll. While it wasn't creepy looking, the whole situation gave me, my brother, and our friends the chills. We hastily pulled the door as closed as it would go and left the house for the night. That night, a thunderstorm rolled through town, and the next time we got out to the farmhouse, it was nothing but rubble and burnt wood. It had been a few days since the storm, but we figured it had been struck by lightning and burned to the ground. Being curious boys, we sifted through the ashes, because why not? That is, until I uncovered that cabinet in near-perfect condition, with very little burn marks on it and the doll inside, perfectly intact, just staring at the sky. It freaked me to my core, and I've never run away from anything faster in my life. I never went back, and by the next year, my dad had been posted elsewhere in the country, and we moved. But I've never shaken the feeling that the lightning didn't start the fire, nor did the family just leave. Story 31. I work in film and TV production. For an ad shoot, we rented a DV camera from a local vendor. It wasn't going to be our main camera, but just a backup for second unit or for continuity. Now, these cameras are usually in constant use, so when you get one, it might still have footage from the previous shoot on its tape or memory chip. You just delete it and tape over it. The camera operator who was supposed to use it called me over to show me the footage from the previous shoot. For some reason, he didn't want others to see it and was being quite furtive about it. He showed me what looked like footage from a PR event, where a popular actor was giving an interview and talking about some product launch. In the middle, she seemed to get more and more agitated, lost her train of thought, and then snapped at the cameraman. It was the kind of clip you'd expect to go viral, celebrity losing their cool. I laughed it off, but the camera guy was still very nervous about it. Then I realized why. This actor had died by suicide just a week ago. Honestly, the tape could have been shot the day, or very close to the day, it happened. Once I saw the footage with that context, it suddenly felt very disturbing, like I was watching a real moment of unraveling. I deleted the footage and double-checked that it was gone from the camera. A few weeks later, on another shoot, we hired another camera. The same camera operator came over and showed me footage on it. It was the exact same one. The actor getting agitated, losing her temper, snapping. The camera was different. I'm pretty sure even the vendor was different. But it had the exact same footage. I'm still not sure how that happened. Story 32. When I was in my 20s, I was spending the night at a friend's house. She worked the night shift usually, so by the time I was getting super tired, she was still wide awake. She decided to stay in the living room and watch some movies, and I went to her bedroom to sleep. After I'd been asleep for a bit, I woke up to see her coming into the room. It was dark, but I recognized her by the long hippie skirt she loved to wear. I figured she was getting her contact solution or something, but she just sat down on the bed with me and stared out the window. I asked her what she was doing, but she didn't answer. Normally, if I get woken up in the night, I'm up for hours, but right after asking her, I got so sleepy and went back to sleep. The next morning, I had completely forgotten about it until she asked me what I had come into the living room for last night. Apparently, she had fallen asleep watching her movie, but was woken up by me coming into the living room and sitting on the couch beside the window. She asked me what I was doing, but I didn't answer. I just stared out the window silently until she fell back asleep. When I told her she was the one who came into my bedroom, we both got super creeped out. She told me the figure who came into the living room had on a long, flowing skirt, just like the one I had seen. She had just assumed it was me, and I had borrowed one of her skirts since I was the only other person in the house. She lived in not the greatest part of town, which is why I was staying with her in the first place. Her roommate was away, and she didn't want to be alone all night. She's also very religious, so she believes that we were in danger that night and that they were angels sent to guard us. Story 33. I used to work across from a really old grand theater. It still operates to this day, but once had a fire that killed some people. Now I work very late sometimes and was the only person left on my floor. I have a perfect view of the theater, but I'm never spooked because I don't believe in the paranormal. But one night, when working alone, I could swear I heard some muffled singing from the ladies' toilet. Muffled enough to make you question if it's really there or just background noise that sounds like it. Being the only person there, I decided to check, as I was 100% sure I was alone in the office, probably the entire building. Nobody. Then came the faint smell of burning, not like toast or coals or cigarettes, but of timber burning, which is quite distinct. It dissipated, and I thought it was just my imagination, because neither smell was present near the kitchen area. I resumed working, only to notice that the foyer light had now gone dim. Not out, but dim. It's a standard on-off switch, no dimmer. At that point, I decided work could wait until tomorrow. I closed up and left. It never happened again after that, but sometimes I still wonder. Story 34. My husband and I were asleep one night, and I woke up from a crazy nightmare and decided to use the restroom. As I walked around the bed, I noticed he was wide awake. It startled me, since it's not uncommon for me to wake up and use the restroom. But in all our years together, I've never seen him awake during those hours. He works a lot and usually sleeps through the night. We both asked each other if everything was all right and eventually went back to bed. The next morning we were chatting and I mentioned our 3 a.m. meeting. He told me he was having a nightmare about our oldest child and how they were in an elevator together when she suddenly ran out and got lost. He was frantically searching everywhere and walked into a room with many children whose hands were bound, including our child. Then he woke up in a panic before he could save her. I sat across from him with my mouth wide open in absolute shock. I had dreamt that I was with the same child on an escalator, and she suddenly got lost. When I found her, she was at the bottom of the escalator with her hair entangled in the stairs, quickly being pulled into the mechanism, about to be shredded. I reached out to pull her out, but as my hand was outstretched, I woke up in sheer terror. We basically had the same terrifying dream about our shared child being lost, then found, and woke up right before we could save her, at the exact same time in real life. Story 35. In high school, there was a smoky, greasy spoon diner my friends and I used to go to at night to drink coffee. It was one of the only places in town where teenagers could hang out without being made to order full meals. We went there enough, almost every day, that we got to know the waitresses by name and made small talk with them. One night we went in and there was a new waitress, so we started asking her about herself. She said her husband was a truck driver and they moved around a lot. We said that made sense since he was a trucker, and she replied, "No, we move around a lot because the longer I live in a place, the more I know about people, because I'm psychic. Eventually we have to move." She left the table, and we started laughing and making fun of how crazy that sounds.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal.
Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring beverage center and dual ice maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
And how that was on brand for this diner. Maybe 20 minutes later, she came back, sat down at our booth, grabbed my friend's hands, and told my friend her whole life story. Not vague stuff, but incredibly detailed pieces of her life, like, you were sexually abused by an adult family member when you were 3 in the bathroom during another family member's birthday party. Your family knows about it and believes you, but thinks you should just get over it. Every single thing she said was accurate. And she talked for maybe 5 minutes without my friend responding or doing anything except turning pale. We saw the waitress maybe once or twice more, and then she didn't work there anymore. To this day, I still tell people that I don't believe in psychics, but that I met one once. Story 36. This happened when I was 16 or 17. I never met my paternal grandmother. She died 2 years before I was born, and my father never really talked about her because feelings weren't considered manly. And I had never even seen a picture of her because all our photos were in a storage unit in a different city. I had a dream one night that I was suddenly walking around a nice little house and came into what looked like the living room. To my left was a set of 2 chairs with bright green roses printed on cream fabric. In one of them sat my grandmother. I don't know how I knew she was my grandmother, but I just kind of did. She didn't acknowledge me at all. Across from her was an old box television playing a program with a man singing for a live audience. When the man finished singing and the audience started to clap, she clapped along with them. And then my dream ended. The next morning, I went out to the living room to see my dad, and I told him I had a weird dream about Grandma. He kind of scoffed, but when I mentioned the chairs, his eyes went wide. He immediately got up from his chair, fetched a small tin box from a cabinet in our entertainment center that I had never seen before, and started pulling out tons of old photos until he found a picture of my elderly grandfather in the very chair I described. He said my grandparents had had those chairs since their wedding, and he got rid of them when I was an infant. I then told him the rest of the dream, and when I mentioned the clapping, my dad said, "That's exactly what she used to do. She always clapped when she watched a good performer on the television." We were both baffled. My dad dismissed it by saying, "Well, that's very interesting," and then kind of shut himself in the den for the rest of the day. I still don't understand how it happened. I couldn't have known any of the information in my dream. I'm happy that I at least got to see her once. Story 37. I decided to watch Paranormal Activity for the first time with my dad up at our family cabin in northern Wisconsin, in the middle of winter, and as far out in the country as you can get. Not many other people around, especially in winter. Anyway, we're big horror movie guys, so we were really excited. It got dark, and we turned all the lights off except a little nightlight at the end of the hallway to see the bathroom door. Fast forward, we're about 75% of the way through the movie and take a quick break to grab a drink and go to the bathroom. I walk into my bedroom, and all the lights are on. The overhead light, nightlight, lamp, and even a flashlight inside a closed shelf. I specifically remember turning off every single light, and the way this cabin is set up, there's no way someone could have gone into my bedroom without being seen. My dad never got up before I turned on the movie, so it couldn't have been him, and frankly, he was just as terrified as I was. Usually I'd chalk it up to some freak coincidence. But four different lights using different sources of power, all turning on. When I'm 100% certain they were turned off originally, we ended up turning off the movie and watched the funniest thing we had nearby, Ace Ventura. I'm an atheist and have no belief in anything paranormal or not rooted in science. But this really messed with me when I was 12. Both my dad and I still have no explanation.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.